Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke. Luke's Gospel, it's on page number 1591, 1591 in your pew Bibles as we look to that. You also have a bulletin insert that has some fill-in-the-blanks and some sermon notes to follow along as we go along. This morning's question is, what's new? What's new about Christmas? Not what new stuff do you expect to receive this Christmas, but what's new about this story? Well, nothing. It's the same old story. All of us know it. We've been there, done that, so to speak, and sometimes we're so easily distracted from the baby in Bethlehem because it's not new. We've heard this before. It's easy to lose focus from the real Christ-centered Christmas because we don't really expect anything new, any new fresh understanding, any new and wonderful thought. But one of my mentors, a pastor, a preacher, and a scholar down in Philadelphia, Dr. James Boyce from 10th Presbyterian Church, listed the ways to make Christmas celebrations meaningful. And one of them that he used every year was he every year would listen for the Lord to enlighten his heart and mind as he read and reread the Christmas story in the scriptures. Every year he would look for something he never thought of or understood before. And I believe that's possible. In fact, I do the same thing having heard that. I experience something new and fresh in the scriptures, in the Christmas story. So with that in mind, I'd like to read again from Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, the story of the shepherds and the angels. Listen as I read. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, has been born to you a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. Did you catch it? Did you hear it? Good news for all people. Good news for all the world, for all the nations. That caught my eye this week as I was preparing. As Hector was sharing, the most familiar scripture of all, John 3:16, reinforces this. For God so loved the world. Think about it. Meditate on that. And oftentimes, without thinking, we think of the world the gospel writer described as something we're familiar with, just like yours and mine, an American, privileged, suburban, somewhat educated and free world. But for many around the world, that's not the case. In fact, for the Apostle John writing that verse, recording that verse, that God so loved the world was very different. Semitic, Middle Eastern, nomadic, much of it nomadic. Climate, broadly tropical, depending on the elevation. Certainly poor for most of the world in that region, uneducated, under the oppressive rule of Roman Caesars, not free like ours. It's a startling revelation. Yes, Christ came as a gift for you and me personally, but he also came as a gift to the whole world. As God's greatest gift to all the nations. Let that sink in. Let that truth grasp you for just a second. As we think about how to make trivial pursuits in Christmas traditions into meaningful celebrations. That's the theme we are following throughout our Advent season. So what in the world is going on? Indeed, what in the world is going on? Well, as we look at this text from that perspective, we see a diversity of worshipers on the original Christmas cast. A diversity of worshipers. We have the celestial choir of angels praising God and singing. This celestial choir. The angels sang. Imagine this inconspicuous, seemingly insignificant birthday party in an obscure part of the world. Heaven showed up for this party. The ones passing out invitations to Jesus' first birth party. It's the heavenly host. The army of angels, spiritual beings, marveling at God's plan of the incarnation. God coming down and becoming man. This is new news to all the world, in fact, to the angels, as they marveled themselves, praising God and singing glory to God in the highest. Well, besides the angels, the celestial choir, there were the Jewish congregants, the lowly shepherds, as they're often described, glorifying and praising God, worshiping God for what they had seen and heard, for what they had heard about. Remember that Christ was born to be King of the Jews. Christ was born to be Messiah, a very Jewish term, the Anointed One. A little more than a week ago, our friends in Lakewood, our Jewish friends, celebrated Hanukkah. Some of our students here in Brick got the day off for Hanukkah. A Jewish holiday, the Festival of Lights. But think about it. Christmas was first of all a Jewish holiday. All those that participated, almost all, were the Jews. As Jesus came to save his people from their sins, Jesus. The shepherds outside of Bethlehem, the city of David, right? All of those in Judea. Jesus born the Lion of Judah. Jesus ben David, well, ben Joseph, son of Joseph, but down the line, son of David himself. A long line of Jewish royalty. Think about that. In this diversity of those who worshiped and praised God. Then there were the international visitors. The Gentiles worshiping the Christ child as they came all the way from the Persian Gulf. The nations came to worship Christ. As we read the story.
And I believe it's a fulfillment of a much overlooked prophecy in Haggai chapter 2. The desired of the nations will come. And it's kind of a combination fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus, the Messiah, desired by all the nations. And now the wealth of the nations brought by the Magi are brought to Christ. We sing, "Hark, the herald angels sing." And we sing, "Come, desired of nations, come," out of that prophecy in Haggai chapter 2. Think about it. It's an astounding thought, this fulfillment of Hebrew prophecy that this Messiah was coming to be a blessing to all the nations, to the Gentiles, as well as the Jews. These Magi, these Persian sages, probably from around Iran or Iraq, but imagine Christmas in Iran. That sounds kind of crazy. Think about it. The diversity of worshipers at this original Christmas celebration. And they had a diversity of responses in Bethlehem as well. Some brought gifts of praise. The angels sang glory. You know, when I meet with couples before we marry, I always ask them, "Do you say I love you to each other?" You know, I ask the husband particularly, or the groom, because they're not often as good at saying I love you as the brides are, the women. So I always say, "Never stop saying I love you." Well, in the same fashion, Christians should never stop saying, "Praise you, I love you," to the Lord. That's what worship is. Think about it. Our praises are unending, unceasing praise to the Lord. Never diminish the significance of worship, Christmas worship or otherwise. Our singing, never tire of Sunday worship, for that's what we're called to do. And the angels inspire us. Then there are the gifts of time. The shepherds took time away from their normal routine. Perhaps you might say they took time off of work to see Jesus. Wow, what a cool idea. Jesus gets most of us off of work on December 25th. Yet, we tend to seize that time for ourselves, don't we? Think about it. It's His day, His birthday, it's His time. Just like the shepherds who brought themselves and the gift of their time. Wow, especially this time of year. Time is precious. Think about the possibility of giving Him the gift of your time. Our choirs, our band members, give the gift of time preparing, rehearsing for the cantata. All of our youth workers preparing what they do. Our United Methodist women with all of their work in serving the Lord and their giving. The gift this past Tuesday of Christmas caroling going out to the nursing homes. What a great gift of that. Who's got the time? What a blessing to those who hear. The Lexington House volunteers last Sunday who took Christmas, in a sense, to those in Lakewood. Time is precious. Can you give Him your time? And thirdly, the gifts of self. The Magi brought gifts fitting with their culture and situation and station. Gold and frankincense and myrrh from their treasures. Gold, maybe, but frankincense and myrrh, these weren't necessarily the gifts that I would think of to bring to a first birthday party for a child. Not my first thoughts, but they fit the wise men and their culture and actually were used by God for Jesus' sake. What will you give to Jesus? A special Christmas offering? Some act of worship fitting you as you bring? Will you give Him yourself?
your heart. For we are
to be living sacrifices as we bring him ourselves. That's the best and greatest that we can do.
Gifts of self. Well, we see the diversity of worshipers, the diversity of responses.
Consider lastly the diversity of celebrations then and now.
As I've mentioned in this series, my wife and I are enjoying watching the Hallmark Christmas movies over and over and over again. And I mentioned that they are kind of formulaic. You kind of know as soon as it starts who's going to end up with who and who's going to almost kiss, and then it's interrupted, and then they come back. Right? Isn't that the way? You know, they're not going to get through this kiss. They're Anyhow. They're fun. They're great. But what holds them in common? These celebrations, the traditions that seem so common, except for the songs, even as good and wholesome as these Hallmark movies are, they leave Jesus out most of the time. They sing Christmas carols, the songs. But where is Jesus? Well, anyhow, I still like to watch them. They make me feel good. What is held in common among these worshipers, the shepherds, the angels, the magi? Christ. Christ is the common denominator in this story as people come to celebrate the birth of this child. One thing these diverse groups hold in common is Jesus himself. Jesus brought them together and still brings diverse peoples together. I'll never forget watching my kids as they were growing up. As a child of the 60s myself, I never thought that I would be unable to relate to the music of coming generations, right? Rock and roll, I was cool, I could handle it. What? Ska? Punk? Christian punk? What's up with that? It took me a while to catch on to some of my kids' music. But one thing that was fascinating, you know what ska music is? Kind of a combination of reggae and jazz that was popular back in the 90s. And that also blended with swing music. Think about that. If it ain't got that, it don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing, the jitterbug, the Lindy bop, right? My kids were dancing to swing music along with their grandparents. It skipped a generation. I'm like, whoa. Benny Goodman and all this. My kids were relating to their grandparents. That music was being held in common. And that brought them together. It was so, so exciting. Jesus is the ultimate cross-cultural, transgenerational common denominator. He is the one that pulls us together. No matter how different our music styles, our cultural things are, our cultural expressions, there's one Savior. I ran across an interesting article this week that talked about Christmas around the world. It's way different in Central and South Africa, for example. The diverse ways in which the birth of Christ is commemorated is remarkable. Christmas is an almost universal holiday around the world. In Mexico and in Latin America, for example, the sidewalks are lined with lighted candles, as we are going to be doing in our luminaries on Christmas Eve, illuminating the way to Mary and Joseph. Families band together with others, their neighborhoods as they walk from home to home, reenacting the couple's journey, looking for lodging, a place to stay. Bonfires are lit, fireworks are set off into the blackness of night after a midnight service on Christmas Eve. In Mexico and Latin America, in Sweden,
The reality of Jesus penetrating the darkness of sin is symbolized by an ancient ritual. The memory of a young Italian Christian martyr by the name of Lucia, the oldest daughter of a family, rises early on December 13th and delivers hot rolls and coffee to the rest of the family still in bed. I tried to get my kids to pick up on this, but they didn't. Anyhow, Lucia wears a crown lit with candles to commemorate that the Christ child was the light of the world. In South India, think about that, South India, Christians fill little clay lamps with oil, putting a piece of twisted cotton in each for a wick. And when the night comes, they put the lighted lamps along the edge of their low, flat-roofed houses. Neighbors who don't know the Christmas story ask them why they have lights at that time of year, which is actually during their summertime in the southern hemisphere. Think about it. And they explain that Jesus came into the world and brought them light. In the villages of Central Africa, Christians welcome the coming of Christmas in their brightest and most colorful clothing, kind of like the Magi in our pageant last night. They spend the day worshiping in the local church, singing hymns and carols, and listening to a series of sermons. Then they break into a special meal at home, return to church that evening to worship and praise. Throughout Europe, a Christian saint by the name of Nicholas is remembered as a gift-giving ambassador of Jesus Christ. In some countries, he's known as Father Christmas, in some as Sinterklaas and Pierre Noel or Kris Kringle, but it's universal. Yes, the verse. In Russia, Christmas is celebrated on January 6th, in Armenia, January 19th. The South Americans, the coming of the wise men at Epiphany after Christmas is the height of their commemoration. And it goes on and on. Think about it. The diversity of celebrations with different cultural expressions. Yet Christ is the Savior of the world, of all these nations. He has given us the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all peoples, of all nations. We need to break free from our narrow provincialism, our North American-centered focus, and realize God's love for the whole world. I ran into a contemporary Christmas carol written by a Christian jazz musician. Listen to these words. Some see him as lily white, the baby Jesus born this night. Some children see him lily white with tresses soft and fair. Some children see him bronzed and brown, the Lord of heaven and earth come down. Some see him bronzed and brown with dark and heavy hair. The children in each different place will see the baby Jesus' face like theirs, but bright with heavenly grace and filled with holy light. Oh, lay aside each earthly thing, and with your heart as offering, come worship now the infant King. 'Tis love that's born tonight. Love came down at Christmas. I'm not trying to diminish our cherished traditions as they are, but think about the diversity of God's love for all the world, for all these different cultures, for God. Jesus is greater than the Savior of American, Protestant, white Christians. Get the big picture. Marvel at the scope of God's plan for the whole world. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let heaven and earth proclaim. Never trivialize this again. Never lose the wonder and grandeur of God's plan for all the world. Rejoice and spread the word. Tell the world.
Jesus is born. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing love for all peoples, for us personally, individually, especially, and for every single one, especially, personally. Help us, Lord, to love all peoples. Help us, Lord, to love one another. Help us especially to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Be filled with such a love that it knows no boundaries. Help us, Lord, to share that light, to shine that light and share that love with the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen.